You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO 102.7 FM.
Is it possible to opt out of a consumer society? The film Homegrown by filmmaker Robert McFalls documents the Dervais family who live off the land on a city lot. Laura Lamb saw Homegrown at the Vancouver Film Festival, and she's here with her thoughts. Hello, Laura.
Hi, Sean.
Okay, tell me about the Dervais family and their farm.
Well, the Dervais family are Jules, the father of the family, and the three adult children, Jordan, Justin, and Aeneas. And they live in an ordinary city lot, not a big suburban lot, but it's one-fifth of an acre. It's in Pasadena. Have you ever been to Pasadena?
Yes, I have been through there. Through the Rose Bowl is there.
Yes,
I think.
I've never been there. I don't really have a picture of it, but apparently it's sort of a suburb of Los Angeles. It's part of that huge sprawl, and their home is 130 feet from a freeway, which apparently if you're in Pasadena, you're probably 130 feet from some freeway, no matter where you are. They, on that lot, grow 6,000 pounds of food a year, which is completely, they're completely self-sustaining as far as produce go. It's 99% of their produce. It also is a cash crop for them. And with that cash crop and living off the land, basically, they live what they call a simple life as urban homesteaders.
Okay. I think suburb of Los Angeles is redundant, by the way. And how do they accomplish this living off the land?
Well, they obviously grow very intensively. They grow vegetables like eggplants and tomatoes and peppers and so on, herbs. They have chickens and ducks for eggs. They have bees for honey. They have goats for manure. Apparently, they don't milk them. And they sell their cash crop, they sell to caterers and organic restaurants. So it's a full-time job for all four members of the family. As far as consuming goes, which is the focus of our show today, they don't use power tools in their garden or their kitchen. They have solar power. They have all kinds of passive heating and cooling. They get around by bike. There's one scene where the one of the daughters of the family is taking the produce to a restaurant by bike or by a truck, which is powered by biodiesel, which they make themselves from refuse oil from restaurants, food oil. Justin at one point says, if I need to drive more, I have to make more biodiesel. So it's very right. It's very firmly connected to their daily work, and you know we all know about Buy Nothing Day. They have Buy Nothing Season, where they try to keep a record of how long they can keep from going to the store, and their record so far is 8 weeks without going to the store. 8 weeks buying nothing, and that includes consuming less and not consuming the things that most people consume. They buy their things like rice and I suppose beans and so on from a bulk food co-op. They find things they need on the side of the road. I do that. They look like they eat well, but they eat seasonally. So when the tomato season is over, they don't have any more fresh tomatoes. When the cucumber season is over, they don't have any more fresh cucumbers, but they have everything pickled and canned and so on, these beautiful rows of shelves with pickles and so on. And they do without some very basic things. For instance, they do without health insurance.
Like a lot of people in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, this sounds very fairly comprehensive. Are they motivated by any kind of critique of consumerism?
Oh, I think so, because their motivation is broad. It's to live independently, basically. They talk about freedom a lot. Their website is called pathtofreedom.com. And Jules, the father, says that he thinks that everyone should grow food as a subversive act, basically, because it's a dangerous thing to grow your own food, because he says if you do that, you might start to become free. So this idea about freedom, I guess, is very much an idea of returning to roots values, pioneering values, as they put it, and it includes a rejection of consumerist values, and basically you survive by in the interdependence of a family working together and producing only what they need.
And how do they achieve this common dedication? Does the film explore this unusual family unity of purpose?
Yes, I guess that's one of the most interesting things about the film, and the most, intriguing. How do they really do it? How do they make this little operation work? The father, Jules, is very much the leader of this of the projects of their lives, and there was a after the film. The director was present at the screening that I saw, and there was also a panel, and there were questions. And one of the first questions was, these three adult children, do they have any, like, romantic relationships, or do they date at all? Because they're all still living at home. And the director said, had relationships, but nothing has really lasted, and it would be very hard to break into that unit, that family unit. And Jules homeschooled these three people, so they've always been very much inside his sphere of influence. And what came to my mind is this idea that he is, not only does he grow his own vegetables and his own livelihood, he's grown his own utopia, right? He's produced these three human beings and brought them up to be part of his utopian society, you know, his little mini utopia. And I felt that way about my own daughter, you know, I've grown my own companion, you know, in 12 easy steps. I could write a book, and he could write a book about how to grow your own utopia from scratch. That was a somewhat troubling part of the whole situation.
And I guess that leads to the next question: is it utopia, or is there trouble in this little paradise?
Well, there's no paradise without trouble. I think we've learned that. And there's no movie without a conflict. What makes this movie an interesting movie is that there is a conflict, and that conflict is between Jules and the three younger people. Which comes to a head over their website. They have a very successful website, which is called, as I said, PathToFreedom.com, which gets 4,000 hits a day. And you tell me that this is an amazing number of hits. And they came to realize that if they sold advertising to other ethically organic, so on, like, for instance, the place where they get their tools and seeds, they could make a tremendous amount of money. They could make $6,000 a year, which would more than double their income. So as the young man says, Justin, what's wrong with $6,000 a month? But and the three young people were, you know, arguing in favor of this. What would be the harm in it? It would help us so much. It would help us promote our ideas and so on. But Jules said no, and this is the conflict. What he said is, if we do that, we're going to be getting money for nothing. That's not money that we're working for. That's easy money. It's like, he says, it's like if in the old days when the children left the farm to go and find easy money in the cities. Once they've left agriculture, they won't go back. And basically, when I've talked to people, other people about this conflict, telling them about the film, people have said, yeah, well, someone's got to pay.
And now have the Gervais family, have they found a way out of consumerism, do you think?
Well, their particular solution to the problem of living in a consumer society, their way of opting out, their way of trying to live meaningfully in 21st century without participating in this dominant value system, which so many of us are critical, it works very well. It's wonderful. But there's a very deep irony in that their market for their cash crop depends on their neighbors who are living all around them, who are very well off and who are willing to pay the premium to get this luxury produce at high prices from their consumer, the people who buy their clients, who are caterers and high-end organic restaurants. And so the people who are buying these products, they are buying a lifestyle, they're buying status symbols in catered meals and high-end restaurants. And again, somebody has to pay.
And has this film inspired you to start your own little green utopia?
Yeah. A little, moving a little bit more in that direction. You know, I think we should all be growing as much food as possible. And I think this film will probably be back in Vancouver because people are interested here in urban farming, in growing as much food as we can and becoming as independent as possible from consumer society.
All right. Thanks for coming in today and telling us about this fascinating little documentary.
Thanks, Sean.
I've been talking to Laura Lamb about the film Homegrown, which was part of this year's Vancouver Film Festival. Thanks, Laura.